So I know you're looking at me saying, there's no way. 35 years? No way that she's more than 25. yeah, I got the word. You see it. And you see the lines. But born and raised in Massachusetts, I've always been a Massachusetts girl. I was also the assessor for Rutland as well before I moved up to Maine. So I know a lot about Massachusetts, Massachusetts government. I know a lot as an account rep now. I represent Krista McGuire, and I are your account reps for Massachusetts. Krista does the South Shore and Cape Islands and Berkshires. And I do North Shore. I go out west to, I think, about Fitchburg. But if you're unsure as to who your rep is, you can contact either Krista McGuire or myself. We're happy to help you either way. Okay. One of the things I wanted to start off with, because I know one of the pain points from people who do contact me, is support. And we've had some challenges, as you all have, with support through COVID. Now, you might not have been happy with support before that, but COVID just made things worse for us. We were all able, everyone in sales, implementation, development, everyone was very easy for them to transition off site. It was very easy for them to work from home because they do a lot of their things remote, but support, it was not. Support, if you ever came through our offices, support is all together. They're in bullpens. And so everyone gets that benefit of listening to other people's calls. So you get that learning from that. Also, there's a tiered structure. So you have senior analysts, and you have the ability, they have the ability to walk over to those senior analysts. They also have the ability to walk down, talk to development, talk to QA. They were able to come up to sales. They were able to move about the building and get the people that they needed. When we moved remote, all of that was removed from them. So there's basically in silos, they had to get into queues to get everywhere. So we saw things start to degrade quickly. So we've gotten them back into the office. We needed to get everyone else back in the office too, so that they had that support group for themselves. We also had great turnover as well. The great resignation, you all felt it. We felt it as well. So we are ramping up our support, and they've also changed the structure. So we're seeing our numbers get a little bit better, but I know you're feeling some of that. So I'm going to show you some things that we have out on our website to help you out. And then I'm going to stay later. And if you have questions or specific or any issues that you're dealing with now, then just grab me afterwards. I'll stay for a while. And then I can help to escalate anything that you are struggling with right now. But let me show you the process that you can escalate as well. All right. So I can always be placed in that escalation process, but so can Krista. So what I've done is I've logged into right here on the screen. So you can see, I've logged into our website, and our website is, you can either go to tylertech.com, but I do support.munis.com. That's what I do. So support.munis.com, easiest way to get there, easiest one to remember. You do need to be registered. So all you do is click on register, put in your name. It'll ask you for a client number. Don't even worry about the client number. They'll verify that. And then they'll get back to you with and say you're all set. Then you can get into community. You can pull documentation. There's a whole bunch of things you can do. All right. One of the things I'm going to do is show you the support documentation right here. This technical support overview over on the side. And this goes through all of the support policies, more or less. It gives you the times. It gives you the structure. It gives you the hours. But what's at the bottom is what's important here that I'm going to try to move that up a little so you can see it a little bit better. Bear with me, the mouse is not very friendly. There we go. This is the names of all of the managers for each part, each module section. So for instance, in the financials, you'll see Brian Gilman, he's the support manager for purchasing. Evan Smith is budget general ledger, basically financials, Paul LaRue for assets and civic. So that would be permitting, things like that, inventory. Casey Horsick for payroll and so on. And then it goes all the way down to who is the head of all of support, and that is Adam Schweitzer. If you can spell it, that would be great. It's all there. and then overall for everyone is Seiji McCarran. She's the senior vice president. So that is, if you're having issues, you feel like someone, or you receive a response that you don't agree with, then you can say, all right, I don't agree with that. Don't close that case. And you can actually go to Brian and say, Brian, they're closing this on this contract. I don't think this is resolved. I don't like that answer. And Brian will step in. So you do not, this is, and when you place a case in, you are putting in what the priority. So if you feel it's a high priority, then you put it in as high. We don't, if you call and we put it as medium, you say, no, that's not a medium, that's high. And you can tell them that on the call, or this is critical. So you set the priority as well, okay? So does anyone have any questions on that process or the chain here? Yes. You absolutely can. You can email them and let them know. You can also email, you can copy us as well. So copy myself or Krista. If you go to us, that's exactly what we do. So if you say, I'm not getting any response, I go to Brian, I go to Holly, I go to Evan. I go to, anyone in the payroll. It's usually like I'm going to Greg Miller or going to someone like that. And then if I'm not getting any response, I go to Evan. I go to CJ. But you can do the same thing as well. But you don't have to be the bad guy. You can come to me and do that. If it will work, yes. Yeah, there's one right there. Yeah. Okay. So I wanted you to all be aware of that because I know that that's a big pain point for everyone, having something that's languishing. Again, as I mentioned, we're trying to ramp up those, our support staff and also their knowledge. But if something needs a push, then please let us know it needs a push. Okay. All right. Some of the things that I wanted to let you know about is the entire community. We have a lot of information out here. You can access. There are also there's a lot of information on our user groups. We do have a couple of user groups within Massachusetts. These user groups are free. So I'm going to click on the user group to show you where how to get there. So when I go underneath my user groups, I can choose Massachusetts. And it's giving me everything that is available for Massachusetts. There's going to be three that are upcoming. The registration links should be available. And they should be available soon. I would say by Monday it should be available because the very first one is June 22nd. That's going to be in Springfield. Then on the 27th in Brookline. And then on the 28th in Sharon. This is going to be financials and payroll. Those are going to be the sessions that they'll go over. So a lot of things that are in the new releases that you're all upgrading to, every user group, every single year, they go over what's upcoming so that you're prepared and you can ask questions and have that feedback back and forth with the user group team. Krista and I do attend them, so we will be there as well. I highly recommend that you go. We're always also looking for anyone to host. So if you would like to host, the good thing about hosting is that it doesn't cost you anything except having all these people in your facility, but you can send as many people as you like. There's no limits to that. And the good thing about that is that when you're sending more people, they're not going to be gone the entire day. Like if you have to travel somewhere, you're gone for the whole day or the morning, and there might be only a few sessions that you want to go to. So this way you can have the ability to have more people go to them if you host. So we're always looking for people to host. Let me know, let Krista know, let the user group team know when you go to one of the sessions. You can email us, let us know if you're interested in hosting. We'd be happy to add more user groups as well. So when the links are out there for registration, we'll also have the agenda so you can see what's what is actually going to be discussed as well. All right. Does anyone have any questions on the user groups? Okay, so a few other things I wanted to show you was the online education. The online education, completely free. There are live seminars that you can attend. If you can attend them, they're all recorded. And then we have all of the recorded ones as well. So I'm just going to scroll down, and I'm going to go to all of our previously recorded seminars down here. They break everything down into you know, something on the upgrade, so on. You have the ability to specifically say, do I want to just do hair and clothes? Any of those topics. As you go through, you'll see they're all broken out here. And you can view any one of these. So you can see 1099 processing. We have some on W-2s as well. These are all out there and accessible for you. Again, the only thing you need to do is register for the website. That's it. And you have access to all of those. All right. All right. And the other thing I wanted to talk about was Tyler Coach. So is anyone familiar with Tyler University within? No. Okay, so Tyler University, it sat within Munis itself, and you had the ability to set up classes and set up a curriculum for your employees. Works really great with new employees. So Tyler University basically walks you through steps like requisitions or running a year-to-date budget report, something like that. So it's been renamed Tyler Coach, and it's available within the hub. And you will see when you click on Tyler Coach, you have the ability to see, and you'll have it all when you upgrade. So when you upgrade to your new version, you'll all have it. Where Tyler University, you might not know of it because you had to, there's a whole bunch, you had to like send users to have them loaded and all this. It was kind of a pain. Tyler Coach is available immediately. You click on Tyler Coach, you can see a list of all the classes that are available, and you can click on any one of those, and then it will walk you through the program. So it's a helpful thing. If you're not aware of it, it's a great thing. It's a great little tool to utilize. All right. So I wanted to throw out those education pieces for you so that you're all aware of them. And then I wanted to talk about two things that I know there'll be some excitement about. In our release, in the 2022 release, there's going to be a new general ledger. So you'll have the general ledger was rewritten, and it was rewritten to have every posting be a single source of truth, meaning that no matter where you're posting, it's going to post to, you know, like it does now. So the general ledger, however, it captures this in multiple accounting bases. So it will capture it in a cash basis, in a modified, and in an accrual. So this way, when you run reports, you can choose, depending on the fund, this is a good thing for everyone here, how to do that. I want to run a trial balance. I want to see it in full. I want to see it in modified. I want to see it in, well, I don't think anyone here does cash, but you could do cash. You might have some project cash, but you absolutely can. So that is one of the keys in the new general ledger. The other part of that general ledger is that you have more control over your chart of accounts and adding segments and removing segments. It'll make life easier for you. So it's been structured so that it's easier for you to maintain that chart. I know a lot of you have been on our system for a long time, and that chart becomes a little stale, or you've inherited it from someone else, and you're going through major rewrites. The new chart of accounts that will be within the new GL product will allow you to have more flexibility than you do now. So that's something to look forward to when it does roll out. There'll be an announcement with it. You do have the option when you upgrade to that version, whether or not you want to turn it on right away. You might want to ease into those waters so that you're not using the new GL immediately. So you have a plan. So there will be that option. The other thing that they're rewriting is the budget module. So the budget module is also being rewritten. That will not be ready within 2022. But that will give more flexibility, and it will than you currently have now within UNIS itself. Now within UNIS now, we don't do the but as you all know, we don't do a budget book itself, but we do partner with PatternStream. And if anyone wanted to see a demonstration of PatternStream, it works like an API between PatternStream. It feeds real time, so changes you make in your budget will go up there, and you can have your budget book done. You can also do your annual reports there if you wanted to. It does more reporting than just that. But it is, a lot of clients use it for our the budget book presentation. So those are the things I wanted to throw out before you didn't attack me. So with that, questions? Okay, Julie, right away.
No, the version 21, how long can you stay on that?
That's a really good question. So did everyone hear? How long can you stay on 2021? So the life cycle has changed. And thank you, because that's probably one of the things I should have started with, the life cycle. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go out to, I'm going to go to the wiki page. We have a release. Let me go into community. Let me go here. Yes. So the relief lifecycle, as we all in Massachusetts are comfortable with just staying on a release forever because everyone's on 11-3. and 11-3 is 2011. So that is your, when you jump up, it's harsh. You're feeling it, right? Because you've got a decade worth of functionality that you now have to consume within a short period of time. So we realized that this was killing some of our clients. Like you, Utah does the same thing. I don't want you to feel like you're the only state that does it, but there's other states that do this as well. But it hurts you. It hurts you greatly. So what development has done, and let me put it this way, maybe everyone can understand this, when you have multiple releases, right? So we have, look how many releases we have out there right now. So this was worse. This was a page long. You'd have to scroll how many we had open, how many releases. That means that development has to, when they fix a bug, they have to fix it in every one of those releases. Support has to know every single one of these releases and what's and where. Implementation, when they train, has to know every single one of these. It's difficult. So to be able to serve you better, we had to collapse this. We had to make sure, and this is why you see these retirement dates and why we are enforcing those retirement dates, so that everyone's moving forward and everyone, we can narrow down the number of releases so that we're in a family of releases, like 2021. So you're going to see that 11-3, it did retire in 2022. We have a lot of people, as you know, who are still on, and we're still doing year-end updates for those, the people who can't get off in time. But it is a retired release. That means that no fixes, nothing, no, unless it's a hot fix, it's really bad, nothing's going back into that release. Nothing at all right? So, and same thing for 2019 as well. So those releases, once they retire, they retire. And they have the longest life of everything out there. Everything else you're going to see is short. It's about a year. And it's gone. Well, now, what development did was they put less. There's so much less in each one of those releases. So every time you do a release, it's sort of like doing a patch. Because there's less in there. So it's not disruptive. So as you're going from one version to the next, it gets easier. There's less disruption. Now you're seeing major disruption because you've got so much. You have a huge learning curve. But by giving a cadence that's quarterly for us, it makes it easier for everyone to be able to adopt that release, to have it not be disruptive to everyone. And then it allows us to serve you better because we have a larger client base that is on that release. We try to be transparent. You can see all of the number of people who are on what releases. We have a good chunk now on our 2021 releases. However, you can see we still have 348 that are on 11-11. And that's most of Massachusetts. I would say Massachusetts, in Utah. we still have a lot of people who are on 2019 as well. With 2021, as I said, it'll make it easier to go. And also within, when you get to 2021, you can actually do the upgrade yourself. Now, I've been working for the company for 25 years. I've done everything with the company. I've even done installs. I remember going around with floppy disks, doing installs and upgrading clients. And it took about an hour. Not the way it is now. It's much more complex, way, way, way more complex than in those early days. However, we have opened it up so that you can run your own. You can run it in your test environment and you can actually do the upgrade yourself. You don't have to. You can always have support do that for you. You can still go that route. You don't have to do it on your own, but you can. So you have options, right? That way, if you wanted to do it on a weekend and you couldn't get a weekend date, you could do it. Right? That's how easy they made it in those upper releases. And there's less. No, I can see some shaking heads. You don't want to do it. You don't have to do it. Yeah.
We host. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you host, it makes life easier. You just put in a support ticket and they do it. They do it for you. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Makes it so much easier. Okay. So that was a great question, Julie. So I wanted to explain that. So you can see what the retirement dates are. And this is published and updated. It's updated at least once a quarter. Sometimes they update it sooner than that. You can see, and it will give you the recommended where to go if you're moving up from something. So right now, 2021.9 is what's recommended. So if you're moving off, it's usually where you're going, because that goes until August of 2024. So that gives you a little time before you have to go again. But remember, there's less in between each one of those versions. So less between 2021 and 2022, or between each one of those individual ones. Sometimes you'll see it's just bug fixes. Sometimes you'll see it's a little bit.
So just one follow-up. So how much time would you recommend you want to schedule, like 2021 fix?
Oh, okay. Your hosting. I would do it in between big, you know, give yourself a little bit of time, because you know you have your year-end coming up and the taxes coming up. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean more on your end schedule.
So as soon as you put in the case, they're going to schedule it with you. They'll say, and usually if you say, oh, I want to do it 6 months from now or 3 months from now, they're gonna be like, no, put it in. Yeah, put it in when, you know, like a month before or whatever you
want. Okay.
Yeah. You don't need to. You don't need, yeah.
No. When we did the big upgrade.
When you do the big upgrade, it's different because it's a heavy lift.
Yeah.
It's a very, very heavy lift because there's a lot of things that were in there. There's a lot of functionality that changed, a lot of technology that changed within those releases from 11.3 to the 2021 releases, a lot, because you have the Tyler Identity, that Okta. Those are heavy lifts, and that's, you definitely need time for those. For these little ones, no. You don't. And they'll tell you that if you say, oh, I want it 6 months from now or 3 months from now, they'll say, yeah, that, let us know when.
Okay.
Yeah. A month That's before. Great. Yeah. You'll be good. Yes.
In relation to the Title I and anything required in 2020?
No. And that's a really good question as well. When you moved from 11.3 upward. So what happened was Adobe, the product that we were using with Adobe, they retired and they didn't give us a replacement. So we had to find another partner. So we went Doc Origin. And so we had to migrate everyone to Doc Origin. Doc Origin gave us a lot of things that we could do though. So we were able to do ready forms where you had the ability to, and we created that. So you had to do a migration because it was retired and we had an agreement with Adobe that once you moved up, we couldn't have it on the server at the same time. So that was the issue that we had. And that's why we did that big migration with those forms. But there's nothing like that in those. Yes, it wasn't the easiest thing in the world. No, it wasn't. It wasn't the easiest thing in the world. Yeah, so there's a difference. All right, so when you went through your migration, if you haven't gone through your migration yet, you're going to be given the option. Do you want to use custom forms? So do you want, and that's Tyler Forms. It's, a designer is doing your form for you. Or do you want to use the templates, the ready form templates that you control? So if you have a signature change or anything like that, you can do it yourself in the software. You can do that rather than contacting Tyler Form Support, going through the signature, rushing it, having to pay for it. So if you want that, that's ready forms and that's in the software. You can't utilize that until you're on version 2019 or higher. So in version 11, you had to be helped, and that was that migration. Okay, so in that, if you haven't done your migration, which I'm sure everyone's in that process, they ask you that, which one do you want? You want the custom forms, do you want, or you want ready form? Okay. Other questions? How are we doing on time? We're doing pretty good.
The room full.
Yeah, pretty good room full.
How many people exactly know what they're doing? So, looking at people still on 11.3?
Actually, just today.
So oh, what are you doing here?
That's why she's not with us. You're here.
We've been doing the train, but yeah, we're on that.
So then, 2,000 people would either be on 19 or 21 at this point. 19? 21s?
Good.
Big progress.
You can do either. You could do 9 or 10. 9 still gives you room, so either one.
So I'm going to share with our friend Stacy some of the comments that we had before, because I think it's important to hear about that. One, I do want to say it's great to see that user groups are starting up again. I know it has been terrific in the past to get together with people who are all using Linus and just talk about your experiences and get the training. So I would encourage people to go to those user groups because I think they're very valuable. Now I'm gonna pitch and moan for a few minutes, okay? Just to use a technical term. So there are a number of things that when we talked, people shared some of their concerns about. I'm going to start with my personal favorite because it affects me, and that's the most important thing. Cubes. Anybody use cubes? So this is my issue. Cubes are great. Cubes are a way you can download data directly from Linus into a pivot table. So some of you've heard me talk about this before, but I do my monthly spending and revenue reports that way. And I have it all laid out. So with our chart of accounts, which we're revising to make it easier, Nita, I'll give you credit for that. Yeah, right. Until 2023. So after I'm retired, there'll be a great new chart of accounts in Onza. So it means that things like licenses and permits or fees or rentals all fit in the same way we do our recap sheet. But we have some weird things like cemetery revenue or even our investment revenue that are in their own separate orgs and don't fit. They just don't fit that the same way. And it's because we have this terrible old chart of accounts. So then every month when I put together my recap, I have to go, okay, from fees, this one comes from here and this one comes from there, blah, blah, blah. But with cubes, you can just set it up once, you do it, you get the report, it's great. I have not been able to use cubes for a good year now. Ever since we upgraded, it just hasn't worked. We put in tickets and the tickets have been escalated and escalation has been escalated and it still doesn't work. So I love everything you put up here, but I have to say sometimes your customer support still sucks. Just to be blunt. And I just don't get it. I mean, it's function that you guys put out as something that we should all be able to use, and it really is incredibly useful. And yet, even today, I still can't get this to work. So I don't know if you want to comment on each of these or just let me rattle off a bunch of things.
You can keep rattling.
All right, I will keep rattling. Please. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I've heard that before, but yes. We looked at online permitting. How many people have an online permitting system? Anybody?
We do.
Yeah.
We do, but not the leaders.
Well, that's sort of my point, too, that I think to give you some, I hope, helpful feedback, presentations from OpenGov and some of the other vendors were much better than from Munis. And frankly, Munis is sometimes clunky. Has anybody ever had that experience that Munis is kind of clunky? So our experience was that Munis was as clunky as ever. And I would love to have everything integrated into Munis, really. Mm-hmm. It makes things better.
Yes.
But you guys were just behind the scaling.
So we do know that our permitting, we do not have a best of breed in permitting. And that is why we purchased EnerGov. We purchased EnerGov about a decade ago. And they have complete integration within Munis. The budget for your RFP was too low to be able to have EnerGov. EnerGov is a best of breed. And so we did offer the municipal for that. So that is, but we do have a permitting that integrates 100% in cash sharing.
Okay. We've had major problems, I know in Arlington and I think some other people, in printing bills, some of our real estate bills, getting things changed, and just being able to get the right data from our GL into the bills. Has anybody else had this issue? Yeah. Again, one of those things, it seems like sending a real estate bill is as basic a function as there is.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it took us weeks and weeks, sometimes months, to get this. So that has been a big problem for us. Screen prints in 2021 not working. I don't know who don't have one. Can you explain that a little bit? So things like that functionality that we used to have, when a new version comes along and it's gone, it's very frustrating. I'll just go down through some of this list. Year-to-date reports based on period followers.
And the problem is that we have general entities. Actual is not going to be accurate. So you always have to, it's a real bug that's going.
Yeah. So when that happens, then if you've closed the year and you're going backwards, is that what you're saying? Yeah. So when you do that, because what happens at the end of the year in period 13, those are being reclassified into the next fiscal year. So what you should be doing then for prior fiscal year is run it for period 99. That gives you everything. It gives you memo balance, but there should be no memo balance in the prior fiscal year. So if you run it for 99, you'll get everything. But no, encumbrances will give you everything. So it gives you everything, but they've been reclassified. So if you want them, it's going to have to be 12. So if you might want to rethink how you're doing your journal entries. So the journal entries that you're making to period 13, are they reclassifying journal entries or are they journal entries that are just posting back for accounts payable? If that's the case, you might want to do in the true month because in 12 is where that should be captured, not period 13. 13 should be adjustments. That should be your adjustments. Yeah. Sure.
There is a block that says exceed
year closing. Oh, there you go. Yeah.
It wasn't the kid when they were robbing them. It's so important for I wouldn't sum them. I mean,
Well, 99 is going to do the same thing. So, yeah.
Well, this is the good thing about this, too. Like talk to each other. This is what we get to do. I'm just going to run off a couple of others, and then I'm going to ask if people have other feedback. It takes too long to run reports in PDFs. For example, build print file takes very long. I think we had this experience. I think other people had. It would take 12, 19 hours to run some of our, reports. I don't know if you've heard that, but in other places, but it just, I don't know what was taking so long. It's hard to run bills when you run them, you want to make sure they're right. It takes 19 hours to do it. That's not just starting right.
No, it's not.
Okay. You mentioned something, and Ida had mentioned that she'd come back from your pilot conference in San Antonio, which I think got rave reviews. Plus, San Antonio is a nice place. that you are changing, and I think maybe this is what you're mentioning, the whole chart of account structures and the numbering structures.
That is the new GL, correct? That's it. Yes. No. That's not true. So you will have an alias just like you're used to now. You can keep that same functionality if you want to, or you can change that to be the long structure. We have a great many schools and some counties that use the long structure. So you have those options. So it's instead of that, they're calling it aliases. Because they're not behind the scenes, because you have the ability to use them in a transaction, you can use those aliases in a transaction. So yes, you can use those org objects.
Okay, we've got a couple of others, and then I will ask if other people, please, this is a group participatory project. There were several complaints about payroll and utilities that tickets are listing for months, that it just has been taking a long time for people to put in tickets for some of their complaints, and that it's just taking a long time. I don't know if anybody personally has had that experience. Could you just elaborate a little bit?
Well, it just takes time. In some areas, they're very responsive. I've been working for the last 18 years with different cities and towns dealing with this. And all we say is the either worst of the best or best of the worst. And no software is perfect, I realize. In some areas of customer support,
Are
we the tax receivables?
Yeah.
So, I think we
found how we need to do it, but it took a lot.
So, my experience, at least, I don't know what's going to happen if you upgrade it. But my experience always has been that you cannot go back in time and say, okay, I want to generate detailed receivable report, tax receivable report as an appointment. So the practice that we have always used is that every month, we post everything as of the end of the month. And then print out the detailed report, make sure title is ready. Because if you want to go back on, say, even July 1st, oh, I want to generate the tax receivable report as a detailed tax receivable as of June 30th. And that has been a problem in this world ever.
So now this is one where even a number of people, I've spent a lot of time in Massachusetts on this exact issue. And getting people to change how they process so that, not so that it conforms to MUNIS, but so that it helps you. When you're looking at the reports, and there are some changes that we have done to make things easier, especially in this regard. In the 2019 release, you'll see on a receipt what was missing on that receipt. It was behind the scenes, but what's on that receipt is the GL effective date. And this is going to be very blatant. So if you look, yes, and this is
when
this
we were
is the
doing
problem.
The train.
Yep.
At the same time as live, we could not.
Yeah, that's
live.
Yeah,
so we
that's
couldn't get the same. Yeah. We weren't talking about going back and time. Yep. We were talking about live data.
Yeah.
So we've had a lot of issues.
Yeah, there's something going on there. But let me make this point for everyone. So what you have on the tax side is you have an effective date. That effective date is the interest effective date. So anyone who knows anything about the collections, when they take in collections, that interest effective date, you can move, because if you're doing mail, you want to go, you have to go by the postmark, right? So you need to backdate it so that you're not charging someone interest. So you can change that interest effective date. You do not run a report by effective date. That's interest effective date. Entry date. Someone could enter something on Monday and it was posted on Friday. And that Friday is in the next year and period. Are you going to reconcile to the general ledger?
No, you're not.
So if you're running reports based on entry date, but you have to run it on year and period. If you run it on year and period, you will match. However, you have to make sure that people who are posting know what year and period to post to and that they use the correct effective dates. So all of those things now we have reviewed, and this is something I threw a tantrum on, and it is in the software now. So in 2019, when you are posting, and it should be finance that's posting. This is my opinion. It should be finance that's posting. Yeah. And this is why. Because you have to do the bank reconciliation too. So when you do bank reconciliation, it's a mess. And you probably don't even do it in units. You use the tools there, which are very good. And we have the whole thing where you can have the BAI file come in from the bank that has deposits as well as having disbursements on it, and it will match everything up and give you just exceptions. This is lovely, but you need to get there first. And to get there, when you're posting, you have the ability to break out all of the batches, and it will break them out by their tender types. So now you can put your own deposit and you can say, all right, this is credit cards, this is cash, this is checks. You have the ability to break to say what it is, and then you control where it's posted. You can override whatever was placed when they entered it in, right? And if you're decentralized on any entry in the departments, you know you get that 500. So it could be a month old. So you know now when you're trying to reconcile, it's going to be a mess. So you have tools that you can utilize for that. It's basically your issue.
Yeah, it's really just
Yeah.
Not even
yeah, so you had some sort of bug or something. So
2019, we are still on 11-2, so we're going to update this August. So it was yesterday. So in 2019, you're saying that I'll be able to run reports, accessible report detail as of a particular date?
As of a particular date.
I've got a few other things on the list, but I want to give people a chance to share any other experiences that you or questions you have. I know I gave you things to write down, but I don't think they're writing down, so I'm just going to ask for it.
I'm sorry, I don't
mean
to be talking all the time, but I have an issue with the admin office and not what Facebook. We have some payroll at the end of the week, and we pay our town employees every week, and depending on when the quarter ends, it doesn't pull in the number of employees. I don't know if anyone's has a report that the employment will accept policy every single month saying the report is wrong. Because
you haven't done the employee update yet.
Has found a way around it.
How about other questions or comments or helpful suggestions? Yes.
Yes. Is there any progress on?
I'm not sure I can bring it back. I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, we've had the same issue. Like we got the parking module. I think Amherst and Arlington are the only people who need to use this year the parking module. And just as one.
You used to, right?
Yeah, it's
not us.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else have any other?
It's, the general ability to bill out our police and fire details.
Mm-hmm.
And we have ones that set up, some have an admin, 10% admin fee, some don't. But when you go to post the admin fee, the general ledger will not post correctly. And I've had a ticket in since January.
Send me the ticket and emergency.
Okay.
I'm going to make a note. I'll remind you if you don't.
I know Simsbury, that school, I'm set up the same way as them, and they have the exact same.
All right. I can call.
Doing.
No, they upgraded.
Oh, they did?
Mm-hmm.
Are they young?
I don't
Maybe
remember.
They just did.
It was just recent. So what is happening with the collector's report?
Yeah, some of my favorite things have been the country side there of a lot of the things. And these are not just this ship there, but I would be afraid. And simply, we want to make some changes to the media attributes. It wasn't the greatest place, but it was a flash place. For instance, the department head used to be able to have a building in budgets, and the building in the budget. And with the 2021 update, their attributes changed significantly into their budgets. And the case was to create a new role for them to manipulate the budget, as opposed to taking their existing budget roles. That's to create a new role for them. To give it the existing budget role. The tax force, I really don't know what impact is going to have to the tax but it raise up the new to keep the program.
Okay.
You will have to do so. So put on the basil or last year or put out the products and other parts around you this. Anybody else has anything to talk to you?
I do have a bit of a maybe a quizzical situation. You guys have a best in class permitting the product. Why is everyone priced out the first one of these companies? It's just the missing sense of people can't afford your best in class permitting product.
That RFP was priced low. I wouldn't say that it's priced out. But was, I couldn't answer the RFP with that product given the price that was.
Do you anybody there's anything that's quite better foreseen budgets like somebody
yes
somebody
the city of Salem is using Pattern Street, Massachusetts. I believe it is. I believe it's online. Matt Killian is the IT director for the sound. And he can let anyone know the experience that they had. They revamped all their budget and they got everyone to utilize Munis. They weren't before. So it was a big lift. It was a big process to get training and then to use PatternStream for the budget.
Great. Just a couple more things and then we'll wrap up. You talked about training, and frankly, what you showed there looks a lot better than what I remember from whatever it was. I just remember you showing me this long list of things that training, and this seems more organized. But you also had a feedback from some people that the listserv was overwhelming, that people put the number of things you get from listserv just is too much for people. So
I think I don't understand how do you mean?
I'll just read what somebody put in. Munis listserv is overwhelming. Need more effective way of training, such as knowledge base.
You mean when you do a search?
I don't know. It's something
I think what they're referring to is that, like, if you subscribe to Tyler listserv, which I also do.
Yeah.
So, like, every 5 minutes, I'll have 5 emails.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. You're getting too many emails.
Too many.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, what I have, what I do is I direct them to a separate box.
Yeah, right. And then delete them.
Most of the time, yes. Just
okay.
Control A.
Excellent.
Creating. Yeah, you can send to junk directly, but I don't want it. Something I need to
subscribe. Yeah, it's just a little bit more.
Are you creating a rule on out? Is that what you're doing?
Yes.
It's clear. It's good.
No, this would be if you're subscribing to certain parts of community, then then you're going to get an update when there's postings or anything like that. Yeah. So the more that you subscribe to, the more you're going to get. Sure. Oh, absolutely. Yep.
So when you say building, zoning, planning, dogs.
Animal licenses is still needed.
Okay. That's
So if you're interested in seeing that product, then let myself or Kristen and then do the demo for you. Police and fire, they have that as well. Environmental health as well. Yep.
All right. So my last topic is one point is that we get nickel combined for every change. There's more than force.
Force.
This is why we came out with, to get rid of that, we came out with ready form so that you wouldn't be nickeled and dimed on a signature.
So I guess a number of us were wondering, even flexing ideal customer service in the last couple of years, if Munis was going to give us a discount on our pricing, because very expensive. You can pay for things that don't work. And so I think a lot of us could think that it would be appropriate if Tyler would think about that things you bring. You do not have to respond.
It's be recorded.
Yeah. Second emotion.
They can bring that back to
Can you explain to me that, okay, how come our bill goes up by 5% every year, consistently. Every community I see, same thing. So, I mean, I have talked to everybody and nobody can give me a satisfactory answer. But we don't get 5% raises. I don't get this. So, like, which world we are living in that we get 5% every year?
So please extend that.
And I know we don't have any choice. It's called monopolistic price.
You still have a voice.
Well, I mean, you live in a monopoly or a dictatorship, you can't do much.
Well, thank you for letting us share our voice and listening to us. And you came out alive, so that was dope.
If anyone wants to, I'll be in the hall. Actually, I'm going to grab a